The people decorated their harpoons, adorned their spear points, turned the hooks of spear throwers into elegant carvings of ibex, the mountain goat, and other animals. On flat pieces of bone and antler, they depicted magnificent naturalistic engravings of such topics as a herd of reindeer swimming across a river with salmon between their feet, a magnificent famous engraving of a bison licking its flank with such detail that even the hair texture is shown and the tear duct of the eye. Many of these objects were sculptures in the round, created with a sure hand, probably executed by a small number of skilled artists, probably for ceremonial purposes which now elude us. This is exquisite art. It's not as well known, however, as the rock art. Paintings and engravings deep in the caves of southern France and Spain, which are in their own right today major tourist destinations. It's safe to say that Cro-Magnon art is the first moment in prehistory where we have a tourist destination, other than Olduvai Gorge, which many people visit. And these caves, to see them, is deeply moving. But today, you see them under the harsh glare of electric light. I want you to think of the art as something that people saw to the flickering light of fat lamps, animal fat lamps, flickering in the darkness, with the flickers sometimes almost making the animals look as if they were coming alive. You want to think of this not as just dead paintings on a wall, but of an art that lived, of pictures of animals which in their own right had movement and life and power, because we can be sure that the Cro-Magnons, like many hunter-gatherer societies today, lived in intimate association with the animals, to whom they gave personalities and to whom they had a very personal relationship with. These animals had power, they had movement, they lived. And they lived on the walls of the caves. You can see this at Altamira in northern Spain, where you walk deep into the hillside, into a low chamber, where the artists, as I said, made use of natural protuberances in the rock to shape the body of the bison and make it, as it were, come a little bit out of the rock. Altamira was probably painted about 13,000 or 15,000 years ago. Another famous cave, and one of the paintings is in the picture here on the back wall, is Lascaux, a masterpiece of cave art. This site was found in 1940, at the height of the German occupation, when some boys hunting for rabbits with their dog lost their dog in an underground chamber. They got a rope and a ladder, climbed down into this chamber, and there was this spectacular frieze of giant bulls, like down in the background of this painting, horses, stags, and bison. Many of the horses with elongated necks, the aurochs with its vast, huge horns. Look at the accurate depiction of the muzzle. And down on the extreme right, some stags with giant horns, Megaceros, Irish elk. These animals painted again about 15,000 years ago and sealed off in this chamber after the Ice Age. Perhaps the most dramatic cave of all is the Grotte de Chauvet in southeastern France, a little bit east of the famous Les Aziers Caves. It was only discovered in 1994 by some speleologists who entered an underground chamber through a teeny entrance in a remote gorge in the Ardèche. Here they found themselves in a cave system which again had been sealed completely since the Ice Age. Its chambers contained magnificent friezes of lionesses, rhinoceroses, and other animals depicted with brilliant skill, where the artist with a few strokes would give the impression of dozens of rhinoceroses by putting multiple horns on the wall, just a stroke. And in one frieze, there is a picture of what appears to be a skin-clad shaman, a human, watching over a scene, watching maybe the entrance of this chamber where people were going to come in with animals on the wall with him.